Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker?
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
Adventurers, welcome back to a hybrid episode. I think we're calling this The Elder Scrolls Lore Tales, because this is the lore cast, but also Tales of Tamriel, because you've got me, Tom, or robots. I've got Lotus as usual, but then Lotus's Tales of Tamriel co-host Arcaneer, who guests on the show on occasion. Hey guys, we just got done with a preview of the stuff that we now have to wait to tell everyone about, but we were so excited we wanted to get together and talk about all the new stuff coming to ESO. Are you guys, this is going to be totally without any real structure. We're just going to dive into everything. But welcome.
That's why it's
a good
mix of shows. We're going to keep it to a reasonable show length, but it's also going to be chaotic as hell.
Right. And this is going up.
I mean, it should balance out. We have the structure of Lorecast and then absolute chaos of Tales. And
right.
Meet somewhere in the middle. So.
Right. And so this is going up live on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast YouTube channel, but also on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast and Tales of Tamriel audio channels immediately, as soon as possible, right after the big announcement for everybody.
Yes.
We get a little preview today, just 2 days ahead of time, and there's a lot of stuff coming. Where do we want to start? We've got a new island, and I know people were speculating about this. Some people actually nailed this.
Yeah, the new island seems interesting. It's off to the southwestern corner.
Solstice?
Yeah.
This was hinted in some dialogue, which they normally do. Some people picked this out, and they were like, I think this might be the next location. Sure enough, it is.
Yep. I do like that they breadcrumb that type of stuff. It's got an Argonian and High Elf feel, which is pretty unusual, as that usually does not go hand in hand without a whole bunch of... morally questionable decisions happening.
And speaking of morally questionable, one of the things they hinted at in the actual presentation was that the High Elf architecture is on top of the Argonian stuff in some of those locations.
Yep.
Which seems to imply.
Of course it is.
Makes sense.
Right. It totally seems to imply. Also,
that tracks.
Also, they did say there are some places on the northern part of the islands that have Nords.
Nordic influence.
Like there's a Nordic settlement or something up there?
It's because they knew Ark would unsubscribe if they didn't say that.
This is true, because that's the thing. I mean, we already have Somerset. Why are we getting a second Aldmeri Island? It's redundant, unnecessary. I don't like it, but maybe there's a plot line about the Nords trying to take it over and we are helping them. I'll be on board with that.
Fine. We can deal with the one Ebonheart Pact group from there. Argonians can just slay all the High Elves.
Yeah. Actually, that's three islands, because they've got the two.
Somerset, Auradon, and...
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Auradon is an island, too.
Yeah. So before people comment on this episode, they're like,
I'd argue
two islands.
They also really want to sort of own Canarthi's Roost as well.
Yeah, true. I mean, there are smaller islands, I'm sure. All right. So we've got this island. We have one of the things that's going on is they have, I don't know, did you guys notice this early in the thing when they were showing some of like the city views, that in the distance there's what appears to be like this magical, almost water looking wall? Did you notice this before they revealed what that was?
Yes, which is one of my favorite things, and also I almost commented on it. So apparently, if you play on console, you have actually had this screenshot the whole time. I did not realize this was not on PC.
No, it wasn't.
A console only thing.
I had no idea. That's great.
I saw
really
it
cool.
in the stream team chat. Apparently, people were saying like, "Oh, what's with console's like unique screenshot?" I just thought it was one of the new screenshots. I don't have a reason why it was there, but yeah, on console, that's how my game loads up every single time.
Yeah, somebody must have just loaded the file in or something.
My thought was, I was like, hey, that looks like the ghost wall, or a ghost fence, sorry, that you deal with in Morrowind, or the Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind, but I'm like, this is way before we have a ghost fence set up. We're not trying to contain the blight, so why is there a ghost fence? Mm-hmm. But it's called the... Rising wall?
It's like soul concrete is the way they describe it.
Soul concrete was how it was described, which is gross.
Which is so weird. Like you and I love talking about souls and on the lore episodes about like what happens to them and how do they get in soul gems and all of that stuff. This seems like another one of those like crazy, like, well, we're using souls to power a gigantic wall and make magical concrete out of it somehow.
Right, because this is a continuation. They're going back to the original Soulburst quest line, and it's basically part two. We're dealing with the worm cult coming back, and of course you've got, you know, the worm cult and all their creepiness. Okay, so they're going to build a giant wall out of literal souls.
As you do, you know. Yeah,
but I guess this is a pretty good transition, because the island itself, very cool. I'm eager to see more. This writhing wall is one of the two major things I'm interested in.
You just love writhing. Go ahead, Ark.
Because it's the main mechanic. It's not just because
I just want to, like, fall on the floor and flail around.
Before we get too into this, one of the things that we should note, okay, so that our listeners understand what, like, we not only saw the presentation, but we also had a Q&A session with the devs afterwards. So they've been able to reveal to us some things that didn't show up in the presentation. So, okay. So, Ark, what were you going to say about the...
seen what we're talking about, but we might be able to provide a little bit more context when they answered our questions.
Right. And one of the things that they talked a little bit more about was this big event where you have to work as a server together to take down the wall or deal with it or something.
Yeah, you basically need to breach and siege the wall to get to the other side of it to unlock the other half of what the no longer chapter is called, like the extension, extenuating.
Yeah, the part two. They literally called it parts now. So
yeah. Right. So, like, you essentially have to breach this wall as a server, and it's made of a whole bunch of stuff. Like, you know, harvesting and, you know, doing your writs, it sounds like, are going to contribute to the supplies you're going to use to be sieging the wall. Mm-hmm. And then there's obviously, I'm assuming, combat related to actually sieging the wall. One thing I really, really liked, which we'll get into the content pass stuff later, you can participate in this to varying degrees, even if you are just like I own the game, I don't have ESO Plus, I don't have the content pass, just like I play the game for free. I don't know exactly how much you can contribute, but you can still be involved, and I love that. That is awesome.
It's probably metrics that they track. Like, we need to collect this many of this material. Yes. We need to kill this many Daedric enemies. We have to, like...
Fallout 76 has done that for a couple checkpoints.
Yeah.
System-wise, I think it's going to be similar to... Remember how they used to do community events, where we got, like, a mount, a house, a costume, things like that? I think it's going to track very similar to that, but it's going to be a lot more involved activity than just find all the points of interest in every zone.
Sure.
As a community.
Yep. I agree. It sounds going to be very a more similar
involved version of it. The one thing, though, and that was my question that just popped into my head immediately, it's not going to be a repeatable event. This is not a world event that's going to be repeatable. It's going to be, you do it as a server once, you unlock the next part of the storyline, and then it's done. Except apparently they will allow you to, like, if you miss the event, you are going to be able to play portions of it. I imagine story parts of it again.
Right. But so it's not
one and done.
Yes, this is a event we are literally contributing to progressing. And they said that it's not going to be like a thing, like not everybody's just going to unlock it at the same time. Like different server portions are going to see the story unlock at different points, which is pretty cool. I really like the way that sounds. Again, counter to that, the FOMO thing is a little weird. It's like, okay, well, say I'm super busy or I can't participate.
It makes sense, unfortunate though. It's a scarcity tactic in marketing to drive people in to be there to do a thing.
Right.
Like,
But I do like that they're kind of accounting for the fact that you can experience what the event would be even if you miss it. So it sounds like, without knowing the exact details, you can still get an idea of what happened and see, you know, probably some portions of it, like you said, Ark, the story and stuff like that. Even if it's not like, oh, okay, you know, we've breached the wall. Okay, well, you can probably have the experience of, oh, this is what it was like to breach the wall if you were there, which cool. Like, I that's fine, but it also makes it seem like an actual event you're participating in, which is really awesome, because sort of something this game does not have.
Yeah, and I imagine this is going to last, like, at least a month. This is This is not going to be a 2 days and it's done. If it looks like it's getting completed in 2 days, I imagine they'll just adjust the parameters and be like,
nah, 7 billion writs.
Now you have to, do double this many things. Okay, cool. Did you see the question that was asked during the chat, the post thing chat, where somebody was like, what if you don't ever complete the goal?
Yes, that was pretty funny. They were like, do you eventually just get part two? And they're just like, well, no, you have to breach the wall to get to the other part.
I doubt that's not going to happen. I mean, that seems ridiculous, right?
No, we're far too obsessive as a community, but I also...
Lotus froze.
Sort of find that.
There you go.
Kind of just funny as a concept if we're just like, yeah, no, we're just, you know what? We're down with the worm cult. Let's do this. And we just chill and we just don't breach the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it would be fun to try and get a server to screw with the event, but it's...
Yeah, there's no way. We're...
One thing,
as
though,
a community, we're too obsessive.
There is definitely going to be races between the servers, especially from the content creators. And it reminds me of... it kind of became a discussion topic. I never played World of Warcraft, but there was something like a race thing, community thing happening in World of Warcraft that... content creators in ESO was talking about, like, organizing stuff like that.
That was my suggestion. So,
oh, that was you.
That was actually my suggestion. So, yeah, a few months ago, they were doing... I'll make this quick because I know we want to get to some more details. But they were doing... So, a few different things happen in World of Warcraft. Every time they release a new expansion or whatever, there's a competition to see who can be the world's first to accomplish whatever the goal is. Mm-hmm. Usually, it's a raid of some sort. But then there's also the OnlyFangs. It was a bunch of content creators who got together on Warcraft Classic with the goal of doing this or that, trying to accrue the most points together as their guild by keeping it's basically a permadeath thing where if your character dies, you have to start over and you lose all your points. And so there was this thing going on with that. And I was like, how cool would it be if we had something similar in ESO? Now, we don't have like a classic thing where your character dies and it's gone, but we could have some sort of competition where we bring in other content creators and have a goal to achieve a thing. And you could base it around something like this, you know, like you could totally have like, well, our server and all of these content creators and everyone else that they're going to be pulling in from their community to try to beat this other server and all of their content creators and all of these people. And let's see who can do it first. So that could totally be a thing.
So yeah, and the thing that I enjoy so much about this as an idea, at least when I fear, you know, what we know of it at the moment, is this is an element of competition separate than the idea of practicing the same dungeon or trial to get the trifecta.
Right.
This is a competition, but there's a lot of different skill brackets that can be involved and people can help out in different ways because, I mean, you're going to have some people like, I throw out like 8 puppies will smoke a trial like it's going out of style and have the trifecta in like a week. He's probably only doing his writ so he can make money to buy potions to do the next trial.
Right, right. you guys are doing trials more than I am, but like if it's about accomplishing some other goal, then I'm way more on board with doing that because I'd rather focus on some of that other stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think this is like a really good way of adding a competition aspect without it being super exclusionary to so many people that don't want to just like practice the same thing at nauseam, because a lot of people just don't have any interest in that.
Yeah, there's somebody out there who's like, oh, we have a fishing goal, yes.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah,
most of us are like,
to feed the troops,
okay,
like with the most fish. 100% like
yeah, I'm like, all right, I guess I'll do some fishing. But some people are totally on board with that.
So I personally, without, you know, obviously experiencing it yet, I really like this. I think this sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to some other things because we've talked about the wall and the big event. What do you want to cover next?
The story. Going back to the story, because I've been dying to talk about that.
It's
going back to our roots, finally.
Yes, we're readdressing the kind of long-standing what happened with the whole ending to Cold Harbor deal, situation.
And some characters coming back. Like, we're getting some characters who are returning. There's rumors about Roz, that Roz's name was mentioned.
Yeah, seems some like other Roz is mentioned. Definitely back.
I have a theory. I'm going to throw this out there into the world. Wouldn't this be a wonderful opportunity for Abner Tharn to return?
That would make me so happy. Everyone came back, and then my favorite dude just stayed dead.
Hasn't been back yet.
But for him to return at a moment where Molag Bal is a huge threat again, and he has to deal with the worm cult, it totally makes sense in my brain that is maybe the surprise they're holding on to, and then we get into the event, and we're like, oh, what? Like, or maybe the climax of the wall coming down is Abner Tharn shows up and helps, like, nuke the thing with your group or something. That would be amazing.
I would love that.
Again, we only saw this once, so maybe it's one of these situations of, you know, I'm curious to see on the replay of it and when people have more time to analyze this when the video is public. But it looked like during one of the scenes and stuff like that, I'll never get off this soapbox. It looked like there was a Meridia statue.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Okay.
And it just ties in perfectly.
Not a hero. Like, I really hope that we're finally getting some type of situation where Molag Bal has been basically telling us, like, yeah, just because you're able to defeat me with the help of this other person, I wouldn't turn you back on them either. And I'm like, yep, we shouldn't be, because she's not great. So
what if so this is seasons and there are multiple seasons, but what if at the end of all the seasons we hold back Molag Bal again in some sort of climactic event, and Meridia shows up and goes, thank you for doing my bidding, and now this, and we're all like, no. And then, like, completely goes into the next set of seasons or whatever.
I've been waiting for that
since Somerset.
For so long.
Since we read the journal of Darien Gutierre at the end of Somerset.
Yeah,
and he talks about Meridia not like a hero, but like a villain.
Yeah, like since he's enslaved to her.
I mean, what was that, 2018?
It's been a while,
Yeah, I think it was 2018. And that's exactly
Lotus is
it.
So
and, like, anytime we deal with Meridia... Am I exploding? Is my internet
your internet like slows and stops, and then you speed back up?
Yeah, we're currently
having
50 mile an hour winds, so
nice.
Wouldn't surprise. Right. Yeah,
of course we are trying to record, so it only makes sense that
it's a current New England windstorm. It snowed earlier today. It was 62 degrees yesterday. but like the we've dealt with her a couple times, but it's her cult in what was it, in Greymoor, there was that church you went to, and she abandoned all her people. Every time we meet her since then, or tangentially, it's basically her abandoning her followers, or there's a dungeon where everybody's going crazy. Like, we've got to get some type of resolution with her not being actually good.
It'll happen eventually. I don't know that it'll happen during this season, but it could be a cliffhanger to the next one.
Yeah, leading us to
if one day they decide, like, okay, Elder Scrolls Online is shutting down, we are releasing ESO 2, whatever, that's when I expect, like, the final storyline of ESO to be against Meridia. Just a full circle.
Right.
We are fighting her. That's it. That's my dream ending to ESO.
The other possibility, and I think I pitched this to Lotus, is that she is a bigger element in Elder Scrolls 6. And back in 2018, they thought that would be a fun way to carry that storyline and connection through to the mainline games. And the game and Starfield took forever, and Elder Scrolls 6 is taking forever. And so what they thought would have been releasing by now just hasn't released. And so they've just been, like, holding back that plot line.
Could be.
Maybe. It could be a thing. Because I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
They've continued to draw connections between, okay, these are the things happening in the second area, these are the things that happened in the other games. This is like, the precursor to the Oblivion Crisis, with portals being opened and, Meyrune's Dagon and all that connecting through, like, dragons being here when they, showed back up again in Skyrim, all of that.
There's always
these connections back and forth. So maybe that's a thing. All right, so let's talk more about some of the other things that we do know, rather than speculating about Meridia. What else really grabbed your attention about this?
I think probably the biggest one, which I'm really excited about, is the fact that they're now putting subclasses in the game.
Yep. Yes. So this is going to be what I think, and I posed the question to you guys as we were chatting on Discord during the whole thing. I was like, I think there are going, so I'll sum it up real quick, just my concept on this, and you guys think this through. Mm-hmm. What we understand, especially from the chat later, is that you can replace two of your skill lines with skill lines from other classes, but you still maintain your original, so you at least have something from your original class, and then you can gain two from other classes, which leads to a lot of flexibility, and I really like the idea from a roleplay standpoint, from a flexibility standpoint, as somebody who just likes doing a lot of quests on my own, being able to have some other abilities to kind of put in there and play with my character builds. But I think the biggest concern we will get from the community is, well, if there's too much flexibility, what if we end up with like, you know, two or three meta builds because everybody can use everything almost at this point, and then we end up with an actual lack of variety in character builds due to that.
Do you think that's like in the end game it'll happen?
Yeah.
But just like as soon as you go below end game, the variety, because then you don't have to run with a meta build to clear any type of content, then the variety will increase by a lot because everyone's going to just do weird stuff.
But at
the end game, yeah, definitely I see.
And I guess I'm the walking billboard for doing end game and just straight up ignoring what and the it meta doesn't is matter. Anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'll stand by the fact of I'm going to do what I want, and I've already got some ideas for what we're going to do that's going to be just real messy. I'm looking forward to a Dragon Knight with jabs and 55 pets. That'll be a mess.
Yeah, or like a healing build that has multiple healing options that you normally wouldn't have.
Right. But yeah, I'm really interested in this. I'm really excited about this. Not for class diversity, which is sort of a thing that has been a bit of a hot button issue since they've kind of done some of the hybridization. But I don't like running multiple characters. It bothers me.
Yeah,
so this I don't like from a story standpoint. That.
Yeah, from a story standpoint, I like when I go to the new zone and people are like, "Oh, you were the hero who did this," and I was like, "I was the hero that did that. You recognize me." But like when you play a new character, there's no connection through to those things, and that's one of the things that always keeps me from like, because I my main character is a Nightblade. Nightblades are cool, but sometimes I just want to play the new character class that's out and do the new zone at the same time. But then I always fall away from it because I'm like, yeah, but this isn't my story. I'm playing a different character now. I want to continue my original character's story. And this allows me now as a Nightblade to just shoot, you know, green laser beams at everybody.
Yes, that is correct.
So that's cool.
Or blue. Ultimate regeneration build mixed with necromancer skills, I can probably do some very weird
ooh,
stuff.
Yeah,
I can spam mass res like every 20 seconds, probably, maybe less.
Oh, that would be wild. Yeah, see, this is... I can
become a Big Nord again.
Yes.
Because the necromancer Big Nord skill, yeah.
Exactly. No, I am really excited for this. Things that they mentioned is... kind of interesting. This is open to everybody with base game as well.
You do not need
the content pass to get this. This is just part of the game going forward, which I love. And kind of interesting to try to give you a little reason to make it trickier to just choose other skill lines. If you're using subclass skill lines for your other two, each skill will cost two skill points instead of the usual one skill point to try to make you've got to commit to doing this. Now, granted, if you play long enough or do enough, you I think I have 400 and something skill points.
Right,
just
that seems to
on my main
make
character.
It harder for new players than like anybody who's been playing for any amount of time has just extra skill points they haven't used.
Yeah,
I would imagine that.
Yeah, that's it looks like I guess I can't tell how many I have. Total on this character. I actually have it up on my other screen.
He's just going to log in and start playing.
Skill points, and I've been playing the same character for years now.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, no, I was going to see how many I had total and then how many I had extra. And I have 78 extra, but I don't know how many I have total, so.
Yeah, I have extra,
on 78
too.
Skill points.
That's the thing with doing everything on a single character, though, because then, like, all of your crafting skills are unlocked, all of your world, Dark Brotherhood, Thieves Guild. So it's a big, big skill point sink. But I mean, it's nice that there is a reason to grind for it too, in a sense. Yeah. Because if you just give this on a platter to all the existing players, then it kind of becomes like it'll be fun to play around with, but they won't have anything to work towards with it,
right,
in a sense. So this will at least give people to just like, okay, well, all those skill points you've been missing for 10 years, go get them. You know, it's now you need them.
Yeah, yep. That's true. Some people will skip like exploring or doing certain quest lines because they're like, I don't need the skill points.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, right, oh, well, maybe you should go find all the, you know, the glowy crystal things, whatever those are called.
Right, now maybe it's time to start.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So any other thoughts on mixing up your character builds and all of that? I mean, I think this is going to go over pretty well. I think it's the, you know, try-hard sweaties who are going to be complaining on Twitter about like, oh, they ruined the game, I'll never go back.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have the people who are negative on it and are like, oh, now there's just like, I'm just going to do this meta. And then you're going to have people who put like a lot of thought into it. Again, we'll mm-hmm. reference like Ape Puppies or Skinny Cheeks, where it's just like, they're going to come up with so many different ways that it's like, oh, you can use it like this and you can maximize it like this. And if you do these, it's super cool. It's just, I just love how open that makes it so that you can just kind of attach fun things. Like, jabs should just be on characters. So that skill just needs to just be on characters.
Yeah. I wonder if you could go the other direction and instead of doing like, okay, these are all the best synergies or these are the really cool abilities.
This is the objectively worst combination.
Dude, just like pick the dumbest things and put them all on one character. I don't know what that looks like off the top of my head, but I feel like you could totally make something like that happen.
You should use your giant baby character for just that.
Oh,
purpose.
Yeah, my big naked baby Nord guy. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. If you take a Nord, and this is something we were doing these naked player runs a while back, and I made a Nord. And if you use the character creator to just make every part of their body as big as possible and then give them a bald head, he just looks like a giant toddler running around. It's so good. Anyway.
My only concern is the amount of pets we'll have in a battleground.
Oh, it's
because
it
already with sorcerers you can have like 24 pets running around.
Yeah, no.
Now it'll be bears and Daedras and
yeah. Everybody was already annoyed by my Zoosork. Well, now it's just going to be an Ultra Zoo DK.
All right. Any other thoughts on this one before we move on?
No, this is actually my most anticipated feature, personally. Yeah. But again, I think we kind of like discussed what there is to it. I'm all about this. I love this.
The last like 2-3 years kind of feels like they've been working towards this with the
sure.
skill styles, hybridization.
Yep.
It all feels like it just built up to this, and now yeah. it's coming
I think
together.
This is. To your point, I think this is kind of a continuation of the long play, because how long has there been a thing where we've asked, well, can we get like we've got alliance change tokens, we've got this change, why don't we have class change tokens?
Mm-hmm.
I like this more than a class change token personally. Yeah. I think this is cooler.
Yeah, I agree. All right, I think we're all on the same page on that one. What's next? What do you want to cover next?
One that we can just do quickly, just because it was mentioned, and I know people will be curious on it. There is another new trial coming out to the game.
I didn't even register that.
Yeah, there's another trial coming. It's another 12-person. It sounds like a full trial. Still not going back to the mini trial format. It sounds like another full 12-person trial. I guess the estimated launch date is June, because even though it's not a chapter per se, June is the big drop of this stuff. So it's still similar time frame as to previous chapters,
right? Yeah. So in the trial go ahead Ark.
Sorry, yeah, I do want to point out something about that. They are kind of vague with the release dates of some of these stuff.
Yes.
And it ties into how they said, okay, we are no longer doing like a very specific chapter release or a DLC release, we are gonna release things as we make them, as they yep. are ready. So it's like the attempt is June, but it might be delayed. So
exactly. And that's totally fine. Because again, launch it complete and finished, and that's good for me. Like I
better late than broken, yes.
Yeah.
So in the trial, yeah. they noted that there's like the MacGuffin or whatever is some sort mm-hmm. of big energy source thing that Molek Ball's trying to get his hands on. And it does something weird. Did you know what that was?
Yeah, so it's sucking the pain and suffering of the right. souls around it so that it can use it as a fuel source.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Cool. So from a lore perspective, I'm kind of curious. I was like, okay, what is this thing? And how does it, like, it at first when they said it's sucking the pain and suffering out of the people around it, I was like, oh, this is a thing Molag Bal made because he wants pain and suffering. And I was like, no, he's trying to get his hands on it. So maybe he didn't make it. So somebody else did.
Yeah,
why
the cult
is
trying to get a hold of it.
Right.
I'm curious how that all will play out to your point.
Yeah, like this isn't like the dark heart of Lorcan or something. This is something else. So what is it? Is it a relic from some other Daedra? Manny Marco messed up an experiment at some point and left this thing in here doing who knows what?
It's like, definitely kind of weird. Whatever the hell it is. And it kind of just art style wise, jokingly, when I started, I was like, that looks like it would be a Destiny enemy because it is weird looking. It's like a giant.
Now that you mention it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a.
It's like something out of a Wex or something.
Without a doubt. So I just found that kind of funny artistically.
Yeah. So you guys do more of the trial stuff. How do you, from what they revealed about the trial and the actual mechanics of it, the enemies, things like that?
So, I mean, it's obviously vague because they like to make sure that, like, going in blind to the scenario is like a big thing for a lot of people in figuring it out. But the mechanics team that Finn is in charge of with dungeons and trials, they do such a good job. I was really surprised by like some of the cool new stuff they had in Lucent Citadel last time. I can only assume this is going to be really cool again. And recently with the newest dungeons, some of the same mechanics they've used, they've come up with creative new ways to implement them, because again, sometimes there's only so many physical ways you can do something. And they've come up with some creative ways of implementing some of these mechanics in totally new ways. So I have no reason to doubt that it's probably going to be super fun. And the new trials usually tend to be a little more brutal on some of the hard modes than some of the other ones. So I assume it will also kick my teeth in.
Right. I think we'll probably see some of the new creatures they mentioned as well. We've got like this big, like, lizard.
The feathered Argonian behemoth looks
right.
Very cool. I don't know what's up with that thing.
And he rolls around. He does like a roly attack.
I thought it looked cool for what it's worth. Because sometimes it's you never know what you're going to deal with. But I thought that thing looked pretty cool.
I feel like there's other videos. Game characters that do that, they just not aren't coming to mind from like other series, like
probably.
Yeah Big thank you to our sponsor for today's podcast, Call of Dragons. Call of Dragons is an original, immersive, and epic fantasy world taking place in the world known as Tamaris. Team up with the elves, orcs, celestials, goblins, and countless other magical creatures to build your vast army. Dive into your own fantasy city with unique decor for each faction. Arrange your city as you see fit and build the unique fantasy metropolis of your dreams. Once you leave the safety of your own city, prepare for battle alongside your scary but friendly behemoth. Command your behemoth to aid you in battle. A variety of epic behemoths are scattered across Tamaris. Powerful giant bears, venomous hydras, lightning-fast thunder orcs, and terrifying flame dragons. Work together with your alliance to defeat them and bring them under your command, then unleash them in battle. Oh, and please don't forget to name them. Train up your heroes with unique skills that can turn the tide of battle in an instant. Unleash powerful abilities to wipe out your opponents with a huge array of equipable magic artifacts, each with their own unique skills. Turn invisible, move at astounding speed, teleport, or heal your units in an instant. Equip your heroes with an artifact that suits their abilities and unleash artifact skills to dominate the battlefield. Call of Dragons has true 3D terrain that shapes the gameplay. Tamaris is a land of mountains, rivers, valleys, tundra, and countless other features. Not only is it beautiful, it's also essential to use your terrain to your advantage. Build your city on a plateau to make yourself impervious to attack. Set up an ambush in a mountain valley to wipe out enemy forces, or occupy the high ground, and cut all would-be invaders down to size. And that's just scratching the surface. In Call of Dragons, combat isn't just a matter of numbers. With the right strategy, you can turn any situation to your advantage. All these features come together to create an incredible fantasy battle experience that allows you to wage war your way. So if you're ready to jump into the fantasy world of Tamaris, download Call of Dragons today on PC or mobile by using my link in the description.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then
You get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
I like the new Daedric enemy a lot because it looks like a small Hercene almost, but with Cold Harbor flames.
Yep. Yeah, at first I thought it was like a minotaur, like a skinny minotaur, but it's not. It's more like a satyr with like a skinnier, pointier face and horns.
Yeah, it's weird. It is cool looking though. It's also huge. Well, there's that big version, and then there's the like little bit. I don't know. I've been liking their new monster design quite a bit.
Yeah, and for future Lorecast episodes, every so often you and I like to dig into like the monsters, the bestiary.
Right, some of the bestiary stuff is pretty cool.
Yeah, so we'll have some, hopefully there'll be some lore drops about like, okay, who is this? What is this Daedric being?
What is this
and
thing?
Where does it come from? And yeah, so we'll get some of that stuff as well. I don't remember, were there any other new creatures announced?
I don't think they specifically mentioned other new creatures outside those couple.
And we, in the trial footage, we saw some of the tried and true.
Sure, and sometimes you get surprised by what's in there. But again, when it's instanced content like that for a team, they tend to try to keep it a little more hidden so that they don't end up showing too much and spoiling it for people.
Right. So speaking about like the dungeon itself, but then also like I guess this is a dual thing, like the dungeon to my mind looks very traditional spooky looking Daedric kind of dungeon kind of thing, but then there's the island, which is like from a like a, again, just kind of like a scenario, like where you are, like the place
they
you
refer
are
to it as like a tropical paradise kind of just dealing with this weird threat.
It doesn't look like there's a ton of new like textures and trees and things like that. It seems like a lot of those assets are reused from other places, but the combination of stuff and the fact that it's like this tropical isle in the south, which is not, we don't have a whole, like there's like one starter zone that's kind of like that, there's not a whole lot of areas
and sort of high isle to some degrees, although that's less tropical, that's more like a jungle.
It's more like jungle. This is like, this has a lot of sandy beaches and a lot of these like subtropical trees, and the architecture is that combination between the high elves and the Argonians. It's kind of just like, it feels like a hodgepodge of other stuff, but we didn't actually get a whole look at like the, usually these zones are bigger than you expect. And I think that's one of the things, I don't know if Rich said it during the actual thing or in the Q&A later, but that the actual size is very much in line with a lot of the other stuff we've gotten before.
Yeah, you did mention its chapter size, but it's split in two. So part one and part two, before and after the whale. So I guess it's going to be like two half chapter size zones.
Yeah, kind of like High Isle.
I imagine they will have vastly different aesthetics as well between the two sides of the wall.
Yeah, and that's true. You have to wonder what the other side of the wall looks
like.
What
is on the other side of the wall.
Yeah.
So that actually brings me into something that I know people will be kind of curious on, as I certainly...
Oh, he did it again.
It was.
There he is.
I think we should probably discuss the season, not a season pass. What the hell did they call it? A content pass?
Names are weird.
So you don't buy a chapter, you're buying a content pass. And it's $49.99 US for the year's worth of stuff. Mm-hmm. That year's worth of stuff includes all the stuff we were talking about, the part one, the part two. It does include the dungeon. Have come out in Q1? Did my thing break again?
Yeah, it did, but you're back.
It's back.
go back and re-say what you were saying about the content pack.
So the content pass is $49.99, and it basically is part one and part two of the
he is not getting his content passes.
Yeah, you didn't get your internet content pass, that's why it keeps breaking. The content pass includes everything for the year, including parts one and parts two. That's what you're saying so far, right?
Yes, if my internet would actually let me cooperate here.
Right,
good
right.
Lord. It gives you part one, part two, it gives you the dungeons. It gives you this event that's like like full access to the event, as opposed to just some of the event, obviously, if you don't have that, which is Interesting. $49.99 is pretty oh my god.
Happened again.
Somebody else just take over and explain it. Right. I don't know how
to explain it. So I mean, what we used to do is we either subbed to ESO Plus and then bought the chapter individually, or bought everything individually. So chapters used to cost, like, if it was the digital collector's edition, I think it was like $60. And then you would have to buy the DLC with crowns, and then you would have to buy the dungeons with crowns. So there would be like three things to buy every year. So now instead, it's just $49.99, and you get everything from the season, from the year. Or I guess it might not be year because the seasons are going to different length apparently, but basically everything that content offers, you'll get it. The discussion that I saw,
at least, so
yeah, the discussion I saw, though, you get the dungeons with ESO Plus as well, and one part of, like, a portion of ESO Plus was getting all this content too. So now is it just like, okay, I get ESO Plus just for the craft bag and the crowns, and then $49.99 for everything else.
They said they were going to go more into that as the year unfolds, but they were looking into making ESO Plus more beneficial in a different way.
Yeah, I have a feeling this will be something people push back on, and they're going to be like, well, they need to make ESO Plus better now. So,
right. Yeah. And there was also the problem of you could not get the dungeons on day one recently, the Fallen Banners dungeon pack.
I think the whole reason for that is because of this content pass thing that's releasing April 10, but they couldn't say it, so it just became a whole mess.
Right. And if you do want to buy it separately, it is still going to be a thing now, which as of the reveal, they mentioned that it should be available like shortly thereafter the reveal ends, so on the 10th. So when you're hearing this, it should be live so that you can buy with crowns if you don't want to be sub to ESO Plus or buy the content pass.
Okay. You guys feel good about all that? You feel like that's okay?
I'm a little indifferent.
I'd like to know how much I'm going to pay outright. Like,
don't know.
Now I know for whatever content they are releasing, every year I'm paying $50 to ESO. And I'm done. That's it. Like, I don't have to worry about anything else. Before, it was like, am I going to buy the DLC? Am I going to just sub to ESO Plus? And it was so difficult to explain to people. Now we can just say, like, if you want extra benefits, ESO Plus. If you just want the content, content pass. And it's much easier to explain.
Right. Yeah. Right. I don't know. I've had my little tirades about how I really enjoy the big chapter release thing. I'm going to reserve my full thoughts on that until I actually mess around with it for a little while. I don't think it's necessarily bad, but I don't necessarily think I like it more than just having a chapter either.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I guess we'll have to see how that actually plays out. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling there are multiple times during this, and especially in the Q&A, where they were like, yeah, that's a thing we can't reveal yet. There's more there.
Which makes me think they're still working on some of the fine tuning of making it worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about fine tuning. One of the other topics that came up was the revamp of Cyrodiil and these big, massive battles and all of that. And they went into a lot of extra detail on the Q&A after that about how they were able to get certain metrics. They didn't say what the metrics were. I'm guessing it's some form of ping or server response latency, something like that would be my guess, but down to levels that were acceptable and then levels that were better than acceptable. And they've seen this test as a big success so far, because
they've gleaned a lot of information from it that they can use going forward to not just have a stripped down a version of Cyrodiil just so it works, but like figure out the best ways to add as much possible without bringing the performance back to the problem that everybody had.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, I've read people having issues about this and why would they want to strip it all the way down to this stuff that makes it not fun or whatever. But it totally makes from a standpoint of like testing out the servers and, you know, latency and the complexity of the information moving in and out. It makes sense to bring it down to a very, very bare minimum and going, okay, how much headroom do we have? And then how do we build that back up? Which is exactly what they were talking about. Like, okay, now that we know it runs this well here, what can we add back to it? And how do we keep adding stuff back to it and keep it in a zone that's playing really well, but then add features back in order to make sure that they're optimizing and kind of balancing both? And I think that's a really smart way to do it, because if in the end we end up with a serial that people actually want to play that works for way more people. And they even gave the example of, like, in one of the battles that they were having, they had more people in the one specific spot on the map in a battle than they previously had across the entire zone. That's great. You know, that's
super cool, because I love that stuff. That's always some of my favorite memories from Cyrodiil, is just giant keep piles where it's just like, oh, yep, no, there's 900 people just went down. Okay, cool, great. Like, and not have it because everybody did.
Yeah. So
I think, go ahead, I think they mentioned like 3 times the player count that Cyrodiil can usually support before this test that they reached, which is great. And all sentiment I saw from the community during that test was positive too, except obviously with like more high-end players being concerned about, you know, play styles getting a bit more
play style fun. Limitations is really the only thing I saw as a concern too.
For the average player, the test seemed like a big success, and it looks like from dev's point of view it was also a success. So
I saw some concerns where people were like, well, because everybody's kind of brought down to this base level, then every zone just becomes who has the most people, and then they push the zone. But I would, just like this test is just seeing, okay, how do we balance this for a bare minimum? It's not like they're able, because they're going to work in other abilities. They're going to work things back in. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make sense for them to figure out like combat balance. No, they're figuring out server load. You got to figure out server load first, how you can maximize the server load, and then figure out combat balance.
I also don't want this to sound super reductive, but if you look historically at how wars were won, usually it's the side with more people who wins.
That's true.
Not that it's always the case, but you're usually very outplayed when that happens. So
or it's morale.
The other side.
Yeah, it's either morale, size of your armies, or it's morale. But in a video game, it's not like you're looking at the enemy across the field and going, wow, their weapons are bigger than ours, I'm out. And you're playing a video game. You just run in and you hit buttons.
Exactly.
You know?
But just like on a sort of jokey thing, it's like that's sort of how giant warfare is played out. It's just like you have a big advantage by having a lot of people. That's sort of par and parcel.
You know what would be interesting is if there was a mechanic for luring more people into Cyrodiil in order to have more soldiers on your side. Like, what if you could make your way through the regular map and incentivize other players to come fight for you?
That
because
can be kind of
because if that's the deciding factor, is who has the most people on the field,
you want as many people as possible.
What if you gave the players the ability to influence other people to get more players on the field? And I'm sure you could say, well, that's why you're part of a guild, that's why you set up a guild event, that's why everybody comes in. Sure, yes. But what
years and years ago, there was also the thing, if your team actually, your alliance had emperorship, you actually got a buff that you could bring into trials, which was removed because it made score pushing just gibberish, because it's like, oh well, okay, make sure somebody has emperor and then go do the trial, and it's like
it's a lot to have to manage.
Okay, this is a mess. Don't do this. So don't go back to that type of thing. But
right, all right, so we got Cyrodiil. Any other thoughts on Cyrodiil?
No, I'm
looking forward to it.
Hopeful.
Cyrodiil isn't something I've jumped into for a very long time. I feel like in a situation where it is more playable and there's more people, that it becomes more appealing.
Yeah,
so I like
for
that
sure.
idea.
Also, please update the names on the servers so they're not from Greymore still.
That's true. I keep forgetting that's
I know,
thing, because I no
everybody
longer,
points
like,
out
I don't
that
even
I bring that up
anymore.
And like, why do you keep mentioning that? Like, we're trapped in 2020 forever.
It was the best chapter because it was Skyrim, so it only makes sense.
Oh, there you go.
All right, anything else on your list?
I'm hopeful for what will be there.
Yeah, cool.
That's really it.
Anything else on your list of stuff you want to cover?
That's it for me. So it's kind of, if you guys have anything else to cover, those were my things of interest. I mean, I know we covered most of it, but like that was really like, those were my major bullet points that I was like, ooh, I'm excited.
They're very vague, but I think the game definitely needs it. The welcome back features that they said, that they literally just called it welcome back features. Didn't elaborate much. They just said that it's, you know, the game has a lot of features that was added in the last 10 years, and they are working on things to make returning experience more pleasant and, I assume, hand-holdy. And in the Q&A, it was mentioned that it was not going to be this, like, set feature, but it was going to be tailored towards the player in a sort of quest and reward based mechanic, which kind of makes me feel like it could be very simple. Like, the game will check, oh, has this person done antiquities, and it's just going to give you the antiquities quest and then a reward associated with it, which would work in bringing people back up to speed, but it would also kind of be very simple. Or maybe they are working on something much more elaborate and include some more immersive guiding. I don't know, that would be more pleasant, but the game needs it, that's for sure.
Yeah, when people asked in the after show, Rich was like, yeah, we got stuff, but can't really tell you yet. So
again, this whole work in progress thing they're going with.
So, I mean, that's good. It's good because, you know, a game that is this old with this many features, definitely people pop in and they're like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to
do. Or I'm just completely overwhelmed. I mean, they've changed the quest giver stuff, so thank God on that, because otherwise you start a new character and 500 people run at you with quests and screaming with papers.
Yeah, that's true. Logging out and nope. Yep. So one of the things I was hoping they were going to address is, previously, we knew that they were working on combat reworks. Is this the combat rework, or are there more combat reworks coming?
I think there's more
Good
coming.
Question.
Because I think this is a skill rework. It's not really a combat
rework. I don't think
rework.
This is the combat rework. Yeah. I think because they've mentioned before more animation stuff that's changing, and they've done occasional ones. No, I think that is unrelated, and I don't think they're talking about it yet, would be my guess.
Yeah, I'm excited for that, because the way my brain works is, once something becomes too familiar and comfortable, I kind of push back against it. So seeing characters all do exactly the same run animation and then stand and use the same animations to attack and send their spells, like, there's something about that where my brain goes, okay, I've seen this 2 billion times.
Yeah, I'm over it.
Give me something else to feed my brain. And I know that you should be thinking about, like, what buttons am I pressing? Where am I going next? Who am I, you know, standing next to? Or what? How am I getting out of the poo on the ground? Or whatever. But, like, there's something about things being too familiar. I'm constantly craving novelty. And that would be nice. It would be nice to have. And heck, I would love... So one of the things I've done recently, and Lotus knows about this, I've gotten back into Skyrim with a bunch of mods, doing challenges and things like that. And some of the mods make the combat in Skyrim so much more visceral. You hit things, they react. You know, like, you could always hit a skeleton and it would break and fly all over the place. But, like, like, did you ever notice that in Skyrim, when you take down most enemies, they do a spin and fall down? This is like the default animation is they turn around and fall down.
Yeah, they tend to twirl.
They twirl.
I know what you're talking about. They do a little pirouette on the way out.
They do a little pirouette and they fall down, right? And it's like one of those things where, like, you see it 100 times and you're like, okay, this is the way everybody falls down. So you get a mod that stops the pirouette, but then adds more, you know, I don't know, physics functions to their fall. Or what I really love adding to this is dismemberment. You know, like, you take on a Draugr and you get a heavy attack, and all of a sudden, the head and, like, one of his arms comes off.
Gave me unlimited entertainment.
Right. Like, that kind of stuff is great, you know, and little changes like that into ESO. And I get it. It's a big server game. It's an MMO. They've got to balance that MMO load. But something that just makes it feel a little bit more tactile, a little bit more visceral, you know, maybe even leaving bodies in the ground a little bit longer after you kill things. I don't know. Something that makes things feel kind of new would go a long way, at least for the way my brain enjoys consuming things.
Yeah, I definitely understand what you mean. Like, the hit feedback, like, the weight of your weapon feeling, that's sort of the more, you know, worsely aged parts of Elder Scrolls Online in the last 10 years. Like, visually, the game is still gorgeous, but that feedback that you get from your actions, that didn't age super well. And I didn't notice it until I started playing, like, some of the more well, I shouldn't say started playing, just tested it out, but some of the more recent MMOs like Tron and Liberty, and then went through those, and I was like, okay, this feels like I'm actually smashing things rather than just pushing buttons. That would be lovely. I'd love that.
Yeah, I feel like that's been one of the big advancements in combat over the last, oh, my lights just changed, over the last 10 years or so. I'd also really, really like I know this is a huge ask, but just up-res textures. Just make the textures a little bit higher quality. Well,
they're kind of doing that. Those zone reworks, have you been to the, your room is now a sunflare. What do you call it? The new zones, they did a good job. They're much nicer looking.
But what they've done, this is not to complain. I like the way the new zones look. They look a lot nicer. What they've been doing is pulling in the highest quality of the textures they've gotten to and the objects and things like that from the other zones, and probably even polishing some new ones for those zones, and they've been putting them in. So they brought it, like, everything was here outside of those zones, or at least in the newest zones, and they've gone and brought those up to the level of everything else. What I'm asking for is, okay, why don't we take
bring that zone
everything
up?
Heck, and with I mean, and I'm not saying, I'm going to say the word AI, and this is going to trigger some of our audience. I'm not saying design new textures using AI, because that steals from other artists. That's not what I'm saying. But what I would suggest is you take the existing textures, run them through an AI filter that doubles the resolution, and then put them right back into the game as a quality option.
Yeah, like an upscaling.
Like, oh, so you want high level textures? Okay, what about extreme? Do you want extreme? Okay, well, these are twice the resolution of the previous textures, and they've just been AI, upgraded. That's it. And I know this isn't a simple ask. There are probably hundreds of thousands of textures in the game. But it would be cool. It would, my eyes would appreciate it. Yeah, I'd still want it.
Would just upscaling the textures change that much visually, though? That's what I'm
think so.
Not sure about.
This is something I've been doing. Again, I've been messing with Skyrim mods, and there's something about, like, some of the mods will take the vanilla textures, they'll up-res them, and then they'll add parallaxing. And all of a sudden, I'm in a dungeon, and I'm like, oh, man, this looks so much better. Or, like, cool. I walk past, oh, I'm in Whiterun. How many times have you been to Whiterun? And you're like, oh, but the wood on the side of this building looks like real wood all of a sudden. part of it is that our monitor technology has improved. I mean, how many people are not just stuck with 1080p monitors anymore, When you jump up resolution, the textures, you kind of tell. The textures don't age as well. And you go play on, like, a Steam Deck, and everything looks great. But, because the Steam Deck's running at, 720p, but I really think that that's just the nature of, like, our expectations. We're playing on, how many people have 4K televisions and are playing on consoles with 4K, televisions?
Sure.
And hopefully, I would assume, the top, Xbox and the top PlayStation can run higher resolution textures. I don't know if you want to add to the storage. There's a lot of elements, but
like you said, it's not a simple ask, but it's still something you can desire.
Right. So that's where I am hoping other things come.
Old generation consoles, right? They haven't completely.
Technically, but they've made the first step, because they've already said that when add-ons are implemented for console, they are not usable on last gen.
Right. Okay.
So
yeah, I think they're moving past that.
But there's already a separation
forward. But at the moment, yes, they are still the same.
Here's a fun new question. I know we're kind of in, like, just extra territory here. With the Switch 2 announcement and the Switch 2 running on par with, say, a PlayStation 4, do you think we can get ESO for Switch 2?
Depends more, I would say, on their internet architecture than anything else, because I don't know. I have next to no experience with a Switch.
Yeah.
But it would open up the audience, because there are a lot of people who
I just know they're not. It certainly would, although it is also an M-rated game, so I don't know how big the audience for something like that on Switch would be either. Yeah.
Well, here's some details. So, FromSoft is launching a, it's not Elden Ring, but it's another FromSoft game that's very M-rated. And it was in, it was announced mm-hmm. with the most recent, you know, update about Switch 2. So that is coming. So they are catering to an M-rated audience. There are people who will only buy one console and they only buy Nintendo. Mm-hmm. That's all they buy. They don't play PlayStation. They don't go Xbox. They don't have a PC. And so that would open up the audience to that demographic.
I certainly don't think it would hurt.
Yeah. The hardware because could probably run it.
They've had ventures to other things as well that have, you know, the platform kind of fizzled out. What was that Google thing? Stadia?
Stadia.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah, I mean, they were on that briefly.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah. And if the architecture is very similar to a PlayStation 4, then maybe they could just port over what they've already got going and just kind of make it work.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's another
could be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see what's coming now and... Yeah, I'm curious on other people's impressions before we get more into it, but initially...
The load is broke again.
It seems like they're definitely trying some new stuff this year, and I think it's good.
Cool, cool. We got you. You caught up and sped up. Yeah, we've got to wrap it up anyway. All right, so last thoughts. Ark, do you have any last thoughts here?
I mean, just watching the video that they did, the actual direct thing, and... them talking about the game still in the studio environment, they still look so hyped about this game as the developers.
I would love to work in an office like that. That office looks great. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that they included that content. And I know some people get funny about these things, but like, that's a really cool environment to work in a place like that with, you know, people and their desks. And I even noticed, like, they don't have the big annoying lights on, like the fluorescent lights on. Everyone's got little desk lamps and they've got, you know, like armor up on the wall and like all that kind of stuff. That looked great. That was really, it was really cool to feel like, okay, we get a sense of like who these people are day to day. Yeah.
And it's like, we usually hear a lot within the industry about the working conditions in a lot of studios, and pretty much every studio I've heard horror stories from. There are no studios that are like, oh, you know, never heard something about it. I've never really heard anything from ZeniMax Online Studios and the working conditions there. It's not to say that it's perfect, but compared to other places in the industry that, you know, you talk with other devs and stuff like that, seems like a good place. The other one being Santa Monica, that I know that it's a good place that I've heard, and it's ZOS. And I think that like reflects to their work and their passion for it as well.
Right.
And hopefully the future of the game.
Right. They recently unionized as well. So I'm sure
that's true. Yeah.
I'm sure that helps, you know, make sure that they have an environment that they enjoy working in. And I mean, that's something I'm very for. Happy devs. You can make everybody crunch all the time, but that doesn't mean you're going to get a good product. If people work regular work hours, but they love what they do, they're going to make a good product. And you would think that people who run companies would figure this out, but I've definitely worked for some people in the past who did not figure that out. You know, like if I'm working somewhere and I love it, I'll go above and beyond. I'll do extra work. But if you're making me do it, no, I'm going to clock my hours and I'm done. I'm going home. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Lotus, you have any final thoughts?
No, the internet will just cut me out anyways. I'm excited. That's all I got
today. All right, cool, man. Yeah, lots of fun stuff. Lots of cool things to look forward to. I'm excited for it. And I'm also, you know, there were a lot of things, especially during the conversation afterwards, where people were asking. They're like, yeah, we got it in the works. It's coming, but we can't talk about it yet. So this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of other stuff going on. And I'm glad they're taking the time to really address a lot of these things. But one of the things I was concerned with is, you know, are we going to get new zones? And we are. And are we going to get more story?
Yeah.
And we are. And it feels very similar to the chapters, but yet with some different, I don't know, caveats, some different expectations around them. So I'm excited about that. I think that all that's very cool. So I'm looking forward to it. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Also, if you are watching the YouTube video, make sure you follow. I'm not going to do the whole Patreon thing. We're going to save that for next week when we're back to a regular episode. But if you have thoughts and you want to leave comments
about we'll save your expectations. Ours
too. Yeah. Like, leave your thoughts and comments. Let us know your expectations. Comment on the Robots Radio Discord. Do you guys want to do any final stuff before we go?
How did you manage to make this exactly 1 hour?
That's check out Tales of Tamriel. Yeah, I'm a time wizard. This is my superpower.
Yeah, this is Like, there is no way this would have been exactly 1 hour if you weren't running this show.
Yeah, I guess I've been doing this for a long time. Well, all right. Well, thanks, guys. Thank you, Lotus and Ark. And fun. It's always fun to hang out, Ark. It's good to see you.
Absolutely. Yeah, love this stuff.
Yeah. So thanks for being here, everybody. We'll see you next time. And until then, play some ESO. There's some cool stuff. Let us know your thoughts.
Yeah. Build that soul wall.
Build the soul concrete. Soul Concrete is my new funk band. Anyway, we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.